This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Let the litigation begin. More big banks under investigation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Goldman Sachs has company. Word today, federal prosecutors are investigating the trading practices of half a dozen major banks. And the New York Times reports this morning the New York Attorney General is looking into whether 8 Wall Street banks misled ratings agencies. Here to talk about this with us is our own John Dimsdale in Washington. He joins us live. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
John, how were these banks able to influence the rating companies?
Well, for one thing, the Attorney General is looking at how the credit agencies earned their money. Since they were paid by the banks to grade these securities, did the banks shop the ratings business around to find the firm that would give them the highest ratings? And then there appears to be a really cozy relationship between the banks and the rating companies, so close that employees from the rating agencies were frequently hired by the banks, usually for much higher salaries. So the Attorney General wants to know whether the banks were dangling the prospect of a fat paycheck for an auditor who gave their products a good rating.
What about prosecutors going after the banks for deceiving their clients? Is that part of all of this?
That's a little different. That started with the civil charges by the Securities and Exchange Commission against one bank, Goldman Sachs, for not disclosing to customers that some people were betting that these mortgages would fail. Now, the Wall Street Journal reports this morning that federal prosecutors are now handing out subpoenas and considering criminal charges against not only Goldman, but other banks such as J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and even Deutsche Bank for the same sort of deception. Nobody's officially confirming any of this, but, you know, lawmakers here in Washington have been calling on prosecutors to step up these investigations.
John Dimsdale in Washington. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
And fewer people lost their homes last month. Realty Track reports foreclosure filings dropped 2% in April compared to a year ago. That's the first such drop in more than 5 years. Markets are looking good this Thursday. London's FTSE is up 0.25%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index added 2.2%. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 1.3% to close at 10,896. President Obama visits Buffalo, New York today. From WBFO in Buffalo, Mark Scott reports.
Buffalo is still very much a blue-collar town. Manufacturing survives here at companies like the one President Obama visits today. It makes metal products, including supermarket display cases, with a workforce of 60. Richard Dietz is a regional economist with the Federal Reserve. He says the small plant is an example of how manufacturing has changed in Buffalo.
Really, the story in manufacturing is that it's become a higher-skilled workforce, so a lot of the lower and mid-skilled jobs that we saw that were more plentiful in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and maybe even early 80s have been disappearing.
Dietz says the president will find a city that has weathered the recession better than other areas.
Job loss in Buffalo began later than it did in the rest of the country and has been less severe.
That's because Buffalo didn't experience a boom and bust in housing. In Buffalo, I'm Mark Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com. And by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market.
It's spring, and you know what that means. Swimsuit season is right around the corner, so diet season is in full swing. Americans spend $55 billion a year trying to lose weight. But about our diet obsession is nothing new. Susan Yeager is author of the new book, The 100-Year Diet. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Tell me about some of the diets that people were on 70, 80, 90 years ago.
Well, in the 30s, people that had money tended to begin fad diets. There was the Hollywood 18-day diet that was promoted by the citrus industry, where you had 585 calories a day of oranges and grapefruits and pretty much nothing else. There was the pineapple and lamb chop diet. The thinking there was that pineapple would absorb the fat in the lamb chops and you wouldn't gain weight. To me, it seems like everything was so out of control in the 30s. I think it was important to be in control of something, even if it was just what you had for lunch.
How has the industry changed since the 30s?
Well, it has grown tremendously, but it wasn't a big industry until the 80s because there wasn't really a need for it. Only about 25% of Americans were overweight or obese until 1980. And then, of course, as we all know, it has just been going way uphill ever since. So starting in the 80s, there were so many diet books, and the industry just exploded.
You mentioned that the uncertainty in the 30s had caused some of the diet obsession back then. What about the economic uncertainty now? Is that factoring into our relationship with diets now?
Yeah, I think unfortunately it probably is. And I think that's why we are suddenly seeing these really loopy fad diets, like the cabbage soup diet is going around on the internet again, you know?
So is the Master Cleanse, which I actually tried once.
You did?
I did. For 3 days, I ate nothing.
Well, but cayenne pepper, lemon juice,
and maple
syrup or something?
Yeah. Grade B.
Right.
Those were three long days, I'll tell you.
I can imagine. Well, I mean, I know we're going to see pineapples and lamb chops popular again next week, you know. I mean, because the same thing, taking control. If you can only eat one food a day or two foods a day, that's taking control of something when you can't take control of your own future.
Susan Yeager is author of The 100-Year Diet, America's Voracious Appetite for Losing Weight. Susan, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
And finally, instead of cash, a new ATM in Dubai will give you gold. The so-called gold-to-go machine dispenses small bars or coins with a customized design. It's not bad timing. Gold is at a record high, more than $1,200 an ounce. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.